all-age service when the children remain with us. We don't have a whole lot of children with us this morning, but those who are here, I would like to ask to come forward. I know there are four boys out there. And they're good guys. They really cooperate well, so... I'm going to move over here. Get a little closer to you. Now, were you all paying attention to the scripture reading this morning? Are you listening to that? Good. Because I have some questions for you. It said they started out in a... Israel started out in a desert. What's a desert? Oh, all of you got that. I'll start from the right here. Okay. Sand, a place with sand, cactuses, and it's very hot. Okay. Well, they might not have cactuses. At least in the U.S., I know they have cactuses. I don't know about elsewhere. Andrew?
It would just be sand, and it would not have any water, and it would be just all like dead.
Okay. All like dead and not much water. That's an important part, and if you were listening, you realize that is an important part of the story that was read this morning. Now, what then is it important to have with you? In a desert, if you have to travel through a desert.
Water and donkey, because the
chokes
and the donkey are full of water, so they won't...
Camel, water, right. A camel would be nice to have in a desert. But the water is even better. That's right, water. It's important to have water in a desert. How much water does a person need in a day? Okay, Andrew?
A few liters,
maybe five. Okay, you all agree with that, or yeah, Jonathan?
Six, seven glasses.
Okay, depends on your glass size. Depends how thirsty you are. That's true too. How big you are. You guys would need less water than some of us out here. Do the adults know how to calculate how much water you need? 50 to 75% of your body weight divided by, in liters divided by 10 times one third. So if you're 80 kilos, you need about 2.4 liters a day of water. Now, do you remember, this is going back, do you remember how many Israelites left Egypt?
10,000.
How much is that? Well, there's 600,000 men, plus women and children. So it could have been a million, 10,000, easily, or above. How much water would that be? At 2.5 liters per person per day? Right. Right. I started trying to calculate that and gave up. That's a lot of water. You could probably fill a football field up to about this high, I think, for one day for 600,000 people. And they had to do animals as well. Now, what happens when you don't have enough water?
You die.
You die. Okay. How about before that? What happens? Yeah? You get really thirsty, and then your mouth gets really dry, and you can hardly get anything. And then you get weak, and you get dizzy, and sometimes your skin, you can pinch your skin and it stays stuck together. It's not very good. But when Israel left Egypt, it says they came first to a desert. And they set out from the desert and they wandered, and there wasn't a whole lot of water. And you know what they did? When there wasn't any water, what was the first thing you think they did? They grumbled. They camped at Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And verse 3, it says the people were thirsty. That's what happens when you don't have water. And they grumbled against Moses. And they demanded water from Moses. Now, where is Moses going to get that type of water? From the stone. He's not going to get any water from anywhere by himself. From God. He's going to need to get it from God, because Moses goes and says, what am I supposed to do with these people? They're ready to stone me. Well, not only did they grumble against Moses, they were grumbling against God. Why do you quarrel with me, Moses said? Why do you put the Lord to the test? And later it says they called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord. And said, is the Lord among us or not? Now, why do you think they asked that question? Andrew?
They would get water.
They
actually knew that God was there, but that's because they were not so faithful.
Yeah, they weren't so faithful. They should have known that God was there. But have you ever asked, where's God? Where's God when I need him? Have you ever thought that? How about the adults? Have you ever wondered that? Yeah. I see some heads nodding here. Yes. It's a pretty typical response that unfortunately we have. Things go bad and we say, where's God? As if he weren't able to be with us. And that's exactly the way they responded. They grumbled and tested God. Well, where are you, God? Are you not with us? So Moses went to God. Smart thing to do. Talk with God. And God told Moses, take your staff, take some of the elders of Israel, go to the rock at Horeb. And God said, I will stand there next to the rock. Moses, you take your staff and you hit that rock and water would come out. So Moses did that. It says he took his staff, and in the sight of the elders, he hit the rock, and water came out. Yes?
Did he get it 2 times?
Not that time. We're coming to that. This is the first time. He will come to that in just a minute. God showed the people at that point he was with them, and he could provide water. Many years later, Paul would write to the Corinthians, and for the adults, that's part of why we're going through these lessons with the children, because when we get to 1 Corinthians 10, it goes through a list of things. Israel had these things. They had bread in the wilderness, they had water in the wilderness, they had all these great things, and then they went ahead and sinned and list another half a dozen things the way they sinned in. Don't be like them. Learn the lessons they should have learned. So we're going through these during the summer. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he mentions how God was with the Israelites. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 it says, they all drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. But Paul was probably remembering also another time, which I've already mentioned, with the Israelites. In Numbers chapter 20, we heard Exodus. This is the very beginning of their wanderings. For 40 years they wandered around. And toward the end, it reports in Numbers 20, once again, they had no water. If any of the adults want to turn to that, it's Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 to 13. Verse 1, it tells that Miriam died. That was Moses and Aaron's sister. Verse 2, now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses. They're repeating the same thing all over again that they had done almost 40 years earlier. In fact, they went on and complained. They said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates. And there's no water to drink. So what do you think Moses did?
Got them water again?
Not yet. First he went to God. Right? Remember, you have to remember that's where the water comes from. Not from Moses. It comes from God. So he went to God, and God answered again. Now, I think after 40 years of dealing with his people, Moses had it just about up to here. He was a bit tired of the grumbling. 40 years of people grumbling. He went to God, and again God answered and said, well, take your staff that you have, and you go with Aaron, and you stand in front of the entire assembly, and this time, speak to the rock. Just command the rock, and water will come out. So Moses took his staff, and he took Aaron, just as God had commanded. They gathered the assembly together, just as God had commanded. And then Moses spoke to the people in verse 10. It says, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And then Moses took his staff, and he hit the rock. Not just once, but twice, just like you said. But what had God told him to do?
Command.
To command it, to speak to the rock. Now it's possible these 40 years had just built up in Moses and he just hit it. It says in the next verse, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. They got punished for doing it. It says they didn't believe. Now, I'm not sure exactly in what sense Moses failed to believe God. He certainly did not obey God, and that was not right. Maybe he didn't think hitting the rock would, speaking to the rock would be enough. I suspect he did. It could be he didn't believe God was dealing with the people right. After 40 years of grumbling, he thought maybe they needed a little better correction than just speaking to a rock and having water come out. But we also know that God provided once again in a miraculous fashion. And God's physical provision, and this is the important part, the fact that they got water was supposed to have taught them a spiritual lesson. When Paul wrote, he said, they all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. They drank physical water, real water, like I have up in that glass up there, from a real physical, that came out of a real physical rock. It must have come out like a river for all those people. But Paul calls it spiritual water. I believe he calls it that because they should have learned some spiritual truths there. Their experience with the water from the rock brought the spiritual truth with it, is that God was with them and he provides. God knows our need. He's our deliverer. He's with us. But the Israelites failed to see that. They kept forgetting. Now, they had that lesson 40 years ago. Do you remember what you had in school last year? Ooh. Some of the things, maybe, but not everything. I've had the case of studying the Bible and come across something, and I thought I had this great insight, and I pulled my notes out and found out I preached on it once. 20 years ago. It's like, uh-oh, I forgot I knew it. Unfortunately, we're often that way. We forget the lessons, but we're supposed to learn from the things. When God does things for us, there's supposed to be a lesson that we remember later on. He's there and he's with us. There's an even greater way that God provides for our thirst. But we'll look at that in just a minute. First we have another song to sing, and I think the offering too. Jim? We're going to jump now, hundreds of years later, from the story we've just been looking at, to the time of Jesus. Now, at the time of Moses, God had given the Israelites certain feasts that they were to celebrate each year. Do you remember any of the festivals, the feasts that they were supposed to celebrate? Yeah. Passover was one we remember the most.
Well, there's another one that is mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 7. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometimes some translations will have the Feast of Booths. You could translate the Feast of Tents. And it was they would set up little... Yes? Tents? Well, it's because they were to set up little booths, little tents that they were to stay in for a week in remembrance of the 40 years that they wandered through the wilderness and lived in tents. They remembered the Passover as they came out by slaughtering a lamb, what they had to do when they left Egypt, and they remembered their 40 years of wandering by living for a week in these little tents that they made. In chapter 7 of John's Gospel, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea." Well, he didn't go right away, but he did go up a little bit later. And he went to celebrate this. Now, it went on for a full week. And the last day of the feast was the greatest day. It was a very important day. And this day, this last day, they went to one of the pools of water in Jerusalem, the pool of Siloam. And the priest would get... would draw water from this, and they would take it, carry it through the city to the temple, and there offer it, mix it with wine, and offer it on the altar as a sacrifice. We don't know the origin of this part of the custom. God had commanded the Feast of Tabernacles, but where they got this part, we don't know for sure. It's possible that they associated it with the water that they got in the wilderness. Yes? Well, they would mix it and they would pour it on the altar as part of the sacrifice that they did. Each day, they had a number of animals to sacrifice. On the last day, they would sacrifice a bull. They would put wood on the altar and kill this animal and burn it. But then they would put grain, sometimes it was a grain offering, but they would also pour this water at the altar as well. It's sacrificed because they didn't keep it for themselves. That's the sense of the sacrifice, not killing it, but when you offer something, you give it to God and don't keep it for yourself. It's possible that they associate this water with the water that they had received in the wilderness. They also, when you read some of the writings that the leaders at the time, the rabbis wrote then, they also used this time to pray for rain for the coming season. As they went through the city, they read from Isaiah, or recited it probably, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And some of the rabbis associated this with the Holy Spirit, which God had promised even in the Old Testament. But on that day, if you can imagine it, on this last day, probably as the priest had gone to this pool and gotten the water, and they're walking through the city, trumpets are playing, because this is a big thing, and they're reciting this verse, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It says that on that day, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, he yelled out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." As they are remembering the provision of God in the wilderness of water, as they are thinking of God's promise of salvation, "You will draw water from the wells of salvation," Jesus says, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink." Now, what was he talking about? How do you come to Jesus and drink? Andrew? To get water, everlasting water.
Everlasting life.
Okay. Now, 4 weeks ago, we skipped one. We talked about the bread of life. And we looked at a similar passage. Jesus told us what it meant to drink from him. Do you remember how you drink from Jesus? Yeah? You're stretching. Okay. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." So he's not talking about coming and getting water like this. Because I drank one when I left. I'm thirsty again. That won't happen when you come to Jesus. In fact, he talked about this a couple of times. The verse I just read, he had shared with the day after he fed 5,000 people. That was in chapter 6. John, chapter 4 of John, there's another case where he offers water to someone. Do you remember another place where he offered water to someone that they would never get thirsty? Adults? The woman at the well. Jesus was going through Samaria. He told his disciples, "I have to go through Samaria." And they went in to get some food, and he's sitting by a well. And a woman came to get water. A Samaritan woman. And he asked for some water. And in the course of the conversation, he said, "Well, if you knew who I was, you would have asked for water. I would have given you water, and you would have never gotten thirsty." He said, "Well, what type of water is this? I like this." Everyone who drinks this water, referring to the well, this water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is present with us. Now, the Israelites should have known that when they went through the desert. The rock was there at the beginning. The rock that provided water wasn't just that physical rock, but God was with them beginning to end, Jesus Christ, to provide for them physically. But what we need is not physical things. Our primary needs are spiritual. Many people are driven by the things they want. Now, what type of things do your friends want?
Friendship.
Okay. A lot of people are driven by wanting to have friends. They'll do almost anything to have or keep a friend. What else do your friends want? Or people that you know in school or other kids in school, neighbors?
PlayStations.
Okay. Some of the older ones probably were interested in an iPhone. They were sold out before people even got into the store. If you hadn't pre-ordered them, you didn't get one. What else do people want? New bicycle?
Food?
Family? What do your coworkers want? Your position?
Promotion?
More money? More power? New car? Bigger car? Fancier car? New home? And after they get these things, are they happy?
No.
They want more. They get that promotion and it doesn't satisfy. So they want a next promotion. They get the raise and it doesn't satisfy because they spend more and they think they need more money. It just doesn't satisfy. That's what Jesus was talking about. You just get thirsty again. You take that drink of water and for the first moment say, "Oh, that was good." And 30 seconds later, if you're really thirsty, it's like, "I got to go back and get another one." And it's in life. You get that new bicycle, you get that PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever it is you want, the promotion, and pretty soon, you're still thirsty. It just doesn't satisfy. Now, we should learn from Israel and not repeat their mistakes. These things will not satisfy. Yes, John? We should be thirsty for gospel. That's the song that we sang from the Old Testament songbook, Psalm 42. Oh, as a heart, as a deer thirsts for God. I thirst for water, so I should thirst for God. Let me read that. As the deer pants for streams of water. You know what panting is? Like a dog? So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Israel will ask the same question. Where is God? Is he with us? Yes, he is. And he is the one that can satisfy. We were talking, we had a friend visiting us that we knew years ago. They left Germany in 97. And we were talking about that idea of things that satisfy. People just aren't satisfied with job. He was also in engineering and he just recently left. He wants to be in ministry. Things don't satisfy. God does. That's the only thing that will really satisfy us. Jesus offered water. When we believe in him, we'll be satisfied. We talked about our experiences in different parts of the world. I went to Chad last year, and you saw people with almost nothing. The well-off one had two sets of clothes. One they wore, the other they washed, because they had worn it. The better-off ones had bicycles, like you would not find in our trash. They were riding bicycles where you could see the inner tube and wrapped wire around the tire to keep the inner tube in and protect it. No pedal on the side. You put a block of wood there. And they were happy. They were satisfied. Because these men knew Jesus. And they found satisfaction in him. And that's the lesson we need to learn from water, from the rock. God is with us. Jesus Christ is with his followers. And he satisfies like water does not. Yes. Did you hear that? A story of two runners. One was a Christian and one was not. The one who won was not the believer, but he still wasn't satisfied even after he won. And the believer was satisfied in life. And that's really the difference that having Christ will make in our lives. Jim?